Dorothea there with Theodore. Dorothea, top of the right circle, reels it in, hands it off. Carlson shoots off the post and home! William Carlson, long post and in for a power play goal!
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
Shoots, kick save, Fleury. Rebound loose, a shot, and no! It goes through Fleury for a goal!
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Darren Millard, Chris Chapman live inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the... Boy, oh boy, the playoffs have arrived, the playoffs started, and the Golden Knights get off on the right foot with a big victory in Game 1 last night in Dallas against the Stars, a rematch of the Western Conference Final last season, a series that saw the Golden Knights win in 6 en route to their first Stanley Cup. And let me just say, I picked a really good time to watch a solid hockey game. A really good time to watch the Golden Knights get to their game. And frankly, this was a scenario where I think the Golden Knights are showing us something, and they're going to get a lot better. Now, Chris Chapman, I know that we're working on Darren Millard. Are you able to hear him right now?
No, we're not getting any feedback from him. Up there he is.
There he is.
I was talking the whole time.
Yeah, we had you connected and dialed on, but I don't know what was going on.
I know I was talking.
Well,
what changed?
You're always talking.
What changed right now?
I don't know. Chapman changed.
No, I didn't change anything.
See, Chapman thinks he's like the announcer now. He doesn't have time for the technical side. And he did such a good job with the announcing. He's like, I don't need the technical side. I don't need another announcer. I'm just going to go this thing on my own. That's
not
what
even
he's going to do.
Remotely close to the truth.
Well, hold on. Chapman, I got to get to the bottom of this. Did you touch anything on the board to get Darren up?
No, all I did was okay. I had his volume turned up. I'm still not seeing a lot of levels from him, but I'll get it squared.
He's a little low.
Yeah,
he's a little low.
Oh, well, maybe I can boost it up just a little bit with my fancy dancy
iPad.
There
we go. There we go. That's
interesting. Hey, that was a great hockey game last night. That was a fun hockey game. That was a playoff hockey game, but very physical. Mm-hmm. Special teams had an impact in a decisive moment when it was a thing that the Golden Knights have battled all year long. One area that I want to get to at some point over the next hour is the penalty kill, because it was overshadowed largely by what Tomas Hertl and Mark Stone were able to do on the power play, Noah Hanifin and company. It barely got a mention on our post-game show last night on the television side. I don't know how much Chapman was able to talk about it over at Stadium Swim, which was awesome. What a cool experience that must have been, Chapman. And the Golden Knights take first blood out of this series against the Dallas Stars. First time that they've ever won an opening game of a series on the road. So they're already ahead of schedule from last year. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is amazing, but not particularly shocking, I suppose. Like, when you haven't done it before, it's certainly an interesting aspect of it. But you look at that game last night for the Golden Knights, it was great. They got better as the game wore on. And as you mentioned, we're going to spend time talking about the power play. But, you know, I thought defensively the Golden Knights were really good second and third period on. And then, as you mentioned, the penalty kill, not really giving much of anything. That has to be taken into account as well.
Yeah, it was a game of waves. Really good start. And I'm not a big proponent of early power plays. I was bemoaning the fact that they got that man advantage so early in the first minute with Darren Elliott and Taylor Quellman, our producer here in Studio 31. And they were like, well, what's wrong with it? And Elliott sort of sees it more in my point of view. Like, the first shift, there's a penalty. That means lines 2, 3, and 1 really don't get a chance because they started the fourth line. They don't get a chance to get out there and get into the game. It's right there to the power play. Nobody gets any touches on the power play until they go out there for that man advantage. That's a first opportunity. And normally it doesn't work out. Bruce Cassidy discussed it a little bit today. It's an odd time, almost a disadvantage scenario for your power play, but it worked. And they got a goal, which gave them some momentum. The second period was a real push by Dallas. And Logan Thompson, that was his welcome to the playoffs moment where he withstood the barrage. Now, you could also follow that up by the third period where he allows a long-range goal, but buckles it down. So I think the second and the third period, while there wasn't as much scoring, really showed an ability for Vegas to protect an advantage and then withstand a real significant late-game push where they haven't had overwhelming success at times during the last 2 years and were able to respond. So the first period offensively was their best, not just with the goals, but shots on goal and ozone time. The second period was limited, and the third period was almost like a saw-off. It wasn't like Dallas had a lot going on, and Vegas would break out of their zone really good and very disciplined in being able to have zone exits and get the puck deep. What they would like to capitalize on is more of a forecheck and get some ozone time on top of those pucks deep. But one area that that has been a criticism in the past where Bruce Cassidy has talked about the team being stubborn is trying to make the extra play in the neutral zone or the other team's blue line and turning the puck over and resulting opportunities going the other way. There was very little of that last night. So 30-15 shots in favor of Dallas was a little misleading in the game. The defending 5-on-5 was impressive by Vegas, and the power play, I think, is enjoying its best stretch as a franchise. It's one-off the most goals they've ever scored in a 9-game span. So they've been a little bit better in the past one time. But when you factor in getting them into the playoffs and then winning game one of a playoff series, I think we're at a high watermark for the power play.
Yeah, I mean, if you just look at it with Tomas Hertl and his insertion into the lineup, we're talking about 7 games where Hertl has been in the lineup for the Golden Knights, and they've scored 9 power play goals. 9 power play goals in 7 games on 17 attempts. They're operating right now at 53% down the stretch in the regular season and certainly into game one of the postseason. And, you know, you kind of simplify things. You get that player in Hertl that goes to the front of the net, that relishes being that net front guy. And I think it opens up so much. And, you know, for the Golden Knights, they are converting. They are keeping pucks in the zone. They are striking while the iron's hot. And they're finding ways to make the power play an impact. It hadn't been throughout the majority of the season, but it's coming along at the right time.
So they have scored 11 goals in the last 9 games on the power play. 11 goals. That's pretty good given where they have been. And the difference is they're getting pucks to the net. It's not only a shot mentality, but a puck to the net mentality. Like Noah Hanifin, was he even credited with a shot last night? And he started the plays with that led to 2 goals because of tip pucks and the stone, the high deflection, which is a slightly new alignment for the Vegas Golden Knights power play. That stack screen with Mark Stone up high along the top of the circles and then Tomas Hertl right in front of the net. That's a different alignment for the Vegas Golden Knights. Normally we'll see Stone net front or the side of the net, but Hertl is so adept at that. I like what I saw last night. And then the Hertl play off the draw, which was similar to what we've seen in his time late in the regular season, but he knocked that puck down and then it deflected to himself. He should have got an assist and a goal. When I was like 7 years old, I thought you could do that, that you could get an assist and a goal in the same play. Well, I was 7. I didn't know any better.
I feel like I knew at 7 you couldn't do that. Otherwise, Wayne Gretzky would have like 4,000 points.
It'd be awesome. But Wayne Gretzky was just a young pup when I was 7, so it was more Phil Esposito that we were talking about, or Bobby Clark. But knocking it down, and then like it was an impossible play for Jake Oettinger because of how that went. Now, that's not what Hurdle was trying to do, but he's got that ability to not just knock a puck down, but find it, and really impressive stuff. And then the ability to get everybody involved. A lot of 5-on-5 ice time was just roll over and being able to go with a lot of new combinations and with 7 players that played last night that weren't in the last game that the Golden Knights played, that didn't play a minute in the last game. That would make you think that there might be some rust or some awkwardness on combinations, and you had some new combinations both on the forward and defense, and they were really good out of the gate. I do want to acknowledge one play though, my takeaway play last night, okay. And I don't know whether I should save it for game ratings or whether you want it right now. You decide. But it is the one play that when I think about last night's win that sticks with me is my pivotal moment of the game.
I want it right now.
All right. Here is the moment. And it was 59 minutes and 58 seconds into the game. And there was a shot block. I thought it was Jonathan Marchessault because I just saw the number and the one. But it was Mark Stone who slid across and made a shot block. And as he's making the shot block, it goes off his skate. He's pumping his arm in enthusiasm, like a fist pump with enthusiasm. That should have been the first indication that it was Mark Stone. but I honestly wasn't expecting Stone to be out there in that situation because he's back from injury. And there was no minute limit, but I wasn't expecting it, and I should have known because Marchessault's not usually on at that type of moment of the game. But that was a playoff moment. Your captain coming off a third-degree laceration of the spleen and does everything he can to get back in the lineup, scores a goal early. He's grinding through his first game in 23, and he hasn't played since mid-February, and he's blocking the shot in the final seconds of the game while giving a fist pump at the same time. That will stay with me for these entire playoffs.
Yeah, it's a great moment because, you know, it kind of encompasses Mark Stone as a player, right? Like you mentioned the work that he put in to get back to this point. And, you know, it's one of those scenarios where we know how much the game means to Mark. We know how much playoff time means to him and what this whole thing encompasses. But the fact of the matter is you get a big goal to start the game from your captain in his return on the power play. It's just one of the most Mark Stone things to do. And then you end the game with Mark Stone being selfless and making a play and blocking a shot in his return out there protecting that lead with less than a minute to go. It just gives you an idea of everything that Mark Stone brings to the table and why his absence is so much more than just a player out of your lineup. He means so much to this team, and it was on display all throughout the game last night.
Things you expect and things that happen outside the player's handbook. Mark Stone scored. You expect that. Mark Stone blocking a shot with 2 seconds to go, that's paying the price. So we've got another example of it. I'll give that to you in our game rating as we roll into that on the VGK Insider Show in Fox Sports Las Vegas. Hoping
to alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
I wasn't sure whether Chapman was still working the board or whether he thought he was an announcer still. Like I wasn't sure that point. So Chapman, give me, you were hosting last night.
Yes.
What is your game rating for this 4-3 victory? The first time the Golden Knights win a series opener on the road.
Yeah, I was trying to go through in my mind how many times they've opened, is it four?
Four.
Okay. Listen, it's game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. You are the defending Stanley Cup champion. everybody in the NHL is rooting against you. You have now become the evil empire in the NHL. Mark Stone scores a goal. Logan Thompson gets a start, wins his very first NHL playoff game in his very first start. Tomas Hertl was awesome. And Brady McNabb, all he seems to do in the playoffs when he scores, it's a big goal. Second game-winning goal for Brady McNabb in his play in his career in the playoffs. It's a five for me. It's a five out of five.
All
it
right.
is a Dom P.
Hitting for the max. Wallace.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go Dom P as well. Was it a perfect game? No, it wasn't. But, you know, all the things that you wanted to see from the Golden Knights kind of ring through. You get the power play to convert for you, 2 for 2 on the night. Big reason why the Golden Knights were able to win that game. Logan Thompson, though he did allow that goal in the third period that gave Dallas life, I thought he responded really well, picks up his first career playoff win. That's an important aspect moving forward. You mentioned Tomas Hertl. He's just been everything the Golden Knights could have asked for in a pickup at the trade deadline. He has made them better in so many different ways, but you get your captain back. You get the split already with an opportunity to really put Dallas in a hole come tomorrow in game two. I'll take all of that all day long for the Golden Knights, and I thought they got better as the game wore on. They defended incredibly well in that third period. Dallas didn't have a ton going on, and I like the way that kind of bodes for the rest of the series.
All right, so what do you give for a rating?
Dom P. It's a 5 out of 5.
All right, I'll go 4 out of 5. Just need more pressure in around the net, more volume in around the net. You had Jake Oettinger on the ropes last night. You're on the cusp of playing some mind games with Jake between last year's series where he wasn't very good and you beat the Dallas Stars in all three games during the regular season, make it 4 during this campaign. You've got him on the ropes of what is wrong when I play these guys. Why can't I step up? It would have been great to be able to pile on a little bit last night and put them in a position of wondering whether or not you have to make a change. The goals weren't bad. I want to acknowledge that. The tip by Stone, the deflection and rebound for Tomas Hertl, the seeing eye shot by Braden McNabb, and then the quick release off a wonderful feed by Ivan Barbashev to Jonathan Marchessault. So 4 quality goals. But if you can pile on a little bit, you might be able to put a dent in the mental game that is already there, that is slightly wobbly in Jake Oettinger. So I would like to see more than 15 shots on net, and they would as well. And they'll try to get some more ozone time because there was nothing off the rush. There was nothing happening last night really off the rush for the Golden Knights beyond the 15-minute mark of the first period. So that's where I'll go with a 4 out of 5. Logan Thompson, I was impressed with his battle last night because it was an uncomfortable moment in the sense of it's your Stanley Cup playoff debut, and I don't care what you say. There's nerves. There's butterflies there. And you have to fight through some of that, of doing something for the first time. And it wasn't a clean game in the sense of the puck was bouncing all over. There was awkward moments, not out of Logan. The third goal, but not out of Logan's doing. But he it would have been easy for him to go, what's going on? Like, why is it so hard tonight? Because it was a difficult game to play, and he was good at doing it. He had to battle through a lot of that last night. Has the good fortune of a goal coming back on a coach's challenge. That had to make him feel good. But in the first period, you still come out of it allowing 3 pucks to get by you. And the other guys allowed 3. It was a weird first period from a goalie standpoint. But they had the lead and they were able to hold on. So there's more. I think that that with seven guys coming into the lineup that didn't play, and some of them were out a while, some of them were with new combinations. Hurdle, Stone, and Stevenson had never played together as a line before. Stone and Hurdle in return to play skates had been on the ice together a lot, but never as line mates. And then you had the combination of Alex Pietrangelo and Noah Hanifin being reunited, which I think would take some time or maybe a period to get fully engulfed. Those are two alpha dogs, alpha players. But I expect an improved performance in game two by both teams. And Vegas, by what they did last night, don't have to be as locked in as they were required a year ago in Game 2 against Winnipeg. By the way, Game 2 against Winnipeg, we all talk about how they lost that first game, and it was the only time they trailed in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Remember the first period of Game 2 when they're down?
I do.
Like, Lauren Brossoit was brilliant. And it wasn't just game one that Vegas was on its heels. It was game one and the first period of game two. And then they came out and it was enough's enough. And they went and they blitzed the Winnipeg Jets. It'd be great to see Vegas take advantage of the win last night. And we're 60 minutes into this playoffs. And I'll say it. It's already time to get greedy. You wanted a split out of the games against Dallas.
Yeah.
You got that, and it was more of an even game than you certainly would like. You would like to carry the play in all games, but it was an even game. Or territorially, Dallas had the advantage. Now you get greedy, and if you can somehow, for the first time ever, sweep two games out of the gate on the road in a series. Well, are you in a good spot? And there is some of that. Eight of the last 10 guys have gone to the Vegas Golden Knights head-to-head with the Dallas Stars between last year's playoffs and what's happened so far this year. So let's see if they can take advantage of that. And a stick tap to the pro scouting staff, Vaughn Carpen, Kelly McCrimmon, who swung the deals. But the trade deadline was the first star last night. Between Hurdle and Hanifin.
I'm with you. I think Tomáš Hurdle has been so important and really a player unlike, you know, what we've seen here with the Golden Knights. He kind of fits in seamlessly. He helps you on the power play. Certainly, he has been that guy. And then Noah Hanifin has just been phenomenal as well. So I'm with you there, and I agree that greediness in this spot is warranted. If you can put that doubt in Dallas's mind going on the road with a 2-0 hole in the series, then you can really, really apply the pressure and get yourself into a really good spot. So I'm with you. I think for the Golden Knights, I would expect them to be better in game two on the whole. And if they're able to get that win and get to Jake Oettinger in this game, then it really sets them up for the rest of the series.
Add on comments. Jonathan Marchessault got his 43rd goal of the season. It was one game late, but it was a big one.
Well,
he got that 43rd goal of the season. Braden McNabb doing what you should be doing and stepping out and expanding in role, blocked a game-high 8 shots and then scored the game-winning goal. That was impressive. Offense from the blue line. Did everybody have Braden McNabb doing that? No, but Noah Hanifin also contributed. Alex Pietrangelo breaking up a 2-on-1 in the second period and then going to the bench. And John Stevens, we had a great look on television. John Stevens, you couldn't see Johnny's head. You just had to go by the suit. And John Stevens giving him the punch to the shoulder, little attaboy. Like that was awesome. As Pietrangelo had to come from a long way because they were on a change, and he slid over almost in desperation, and that's where the hockey butt comes in, because I think he got it from the top of his hockey pants and broke it up. That was outstanding as well. So a couple of things just to add on. And I thought Brett Howden played a pretty good game in the lineup over Pavel Dorofeev last night, playing on that third line with William Karlsson and Anthony Mantha. And I liked Brett Howden's presence.
Yeah, I thought Brett had a really strong game. That line, to me, Howden, Karlsson, and Mantha, they're going to be able to get in on the forecheck. They're going to be able to create some havoc in the offensive zone. Karlsson never takes a shift off. I thought he was really good, physical in the corners when he needed to be. But yeah, it's with Brett Howden, he had a great chance. Nice setup from Anthony Mantha. He goes against the grain. Big save for Jake Oettinger. That was a big moment, I think, in the second period. But
I thought he was a presence good looks physically, for too.
Yeah, yeah, physicality, and then his ability to find his way to the front of the net. I thought Howden was strong in that regard, and he's got the experience of going through this, of being a major contributor for the Golden Knights in a playoff run, and he knows his role. Get in there, be physical, be hard to play against, and I thought he did that last night.
Vegas Golden Knights beat the Dallas Stars 4-3 to take Game 1 of this first-round series, going through the Central Division this time. We'll look at other games that are happening from last night and tonight, and we'll also check in on some stories that are happening outside the Stanley Cup playoffs when we check in with John Shannon, our NHL insider, next on the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Hello, Canada, and hockey fans in the United States and Newfoundland.
On the ice at Madison Square Garden, New York meets Montreal in the world's fastest game.
It's officially on. A nice, gentle game full of battered shins, cracked skulls, broken arms, tangled legs, and nosedives.
He used to have the most important job in Canada. Now he's willing to give us a few minutes. It's time to chat with John Shannon.
Talk about Game 1 for the Vegas Golden Knights, the win over the Dallas Stars, and what to expect in Game 2 with John Shannon in just a little bit, as well as some other action. Buffalo Sabres, the big announcement, a huge injury affecting the Vancouver Canucks, and already an arena issue in Salt Lake. I don't know whether we'll get to it at all, but here is the insider, John Shannon, and I want to start with this. You have reinvented yourself as an announcer after being the executive producer of Hockey Night in Canada, so you will appreciate the journey that Chris Chapman has gone through. Ryan has battled illness and then was a great dad last week. He had to take care of things on that side, which you have to do, and was amazing, and everything is great on that front. And Chapman stepped in and hosted the pregame, the intermission, and the postgame for a couple of nights and did an amazing job, and I thought you would appreciate what Chris Chapman has gone through.
Well, in fact, what did I tell you, Chris?
Hey, told me he listened to me the other night, so I appreciated that, and he told me I did a good job, so I really appreciate that as well.
And as Darren knows, I throw compliments around like manhole covers. So.
Yeah, that are welded down for a Formula One race. Yeah. Like, they're not coming out.
No, loose. What do they call them? Bolts.
No, there's no chance those things are going. And I agree. Chappie did a really nice job. Just flowed wonderfully and stayed in his lane and didn't try to do too much. Like people like me usually end up doing. And John Shannon will send me a note saying just let it breathe a little bit. So
yep. Stay in your lane.
And that's awesome stuff, Chris Chapman. So you were watching the Golden Knights last night against the Dallas Stars, and you were texting me throughout the game. And one of the most enlightening notes that I got from you was what Logan Thompson did as far as this history of Golden Knight goaltenders in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, when you consider that this team has been in the postseason and been in the league for just 7 seasons, this is now 5 different starting goaltenders this team has had that has a victory in that short period of time. That is not usual. I didn't want to say normal, because there is no such thing as normal anymore. But that's not usual when you consider a team as successful as the Golden Knights have been in the postseason to have, let's face it, a bit of a turnover in goal. So when you add Leonard and Fleury and Brassois and Hill, Thompson adds his name to a pretty good list.
5 in 6 playoffs. So
yeah.
It's 7 years, but 6 playoff appearances, and they've got 5 goaltenders.
Which if you're a general manager, and you have to go into a negotiation with your goaltender for a new contract, that's a good thing to remind them, because that goaltender in the end doesn't have very much leverage when you think about it.
Or it's an opportunity for the goaltender, depending
yeah,
on.
That's certainly if you're out in the free agent market trying to find one. But the Golden Knights aren't. They've done a great job. Let's face it. I think one of the great stories. You know, there are lots of stories about the goal. I don't know if you know this, but there's lots of stories in hockey about the Golden Knights and the salary cap.
I've heard.
You may have heard about it.
Yeah.
But one of the great stories in my mind. With this hockey club, particularly the last 2 years, is the cost controls they have done with their goaltenders. With all the success this hockey team has, they spend probably less money than 28 or 29 of the NHL teams in the league on goaltending.
Yeah.
So that allows you to go out and spend more money on the blue line and at the trade deadline.
L.A. took the page out of the playbook and went down that path this year, and they've committed the least amount in the National Hockey League on their goaltending. Now, it didn't work out for them as well last night. McDavid may have had something to do with that with 5 points. On the subject of that, Mark Stone is, and I don't know how well you know him, but he's from Winnipeg. He's just this hometown, cool, wonderful boy next door guy, and he is all of a sudden like being targeted with booze like crazy. You surprised that it's that venomous towards the Golden Knights captain?
No, that's the ultimate compliment, isn't it? I think that when you can create rivalries, I think hockey right now. When you're going head-to-head with the NBA, when you talk about rivalries, I think there's more and better rivalries in the NHL than there is in the NBA right now for a myriad of reasons. But, you know, this Dallas-Vegas rivalry, which dates back a long way to the first time Vegas was in Dallas when they were invented.
Yep.
Because that was one of their first victories, right, Darren?
Yep.
You weren't there yet, but
nope.
Chris and Ryan were. But
I was following it from afar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of professional, right, John?
Oh, yeah, well, some of us are. this could work out to be one of the great rivalries. And so when you get fans booing your best players for what they contribute on and off the ice, then I think that's a good thing, and it points in the right direction, I think, of a growing rivalry between the Stars and the Knights, particularly when the fact that you look at who's coaching the Dallas Stars this year.
Pete DeBoer and his staff, which was in Vegas, going against the Vegas Golden Knights for the second straight year. It's funny. Dave Gosher and Shane Addy were talking on the broadcast last night, and get Ryan here in a second. But Pete's been involved in a series against the Golden Knights 6 times. Two with Vegas, 2 with Dallas, and 2 with San Jose. So he knows he called it Groundhog Day going against the Vegas Golden Knights. John Shannon's with us on the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
So you mentioned the statistic of 5 different goaltenders picking up a win for the Golden Knights in the postseason. I do want to shift from the Vegas Golden Knights to the Colorado Avalanche and Alexander Georgiev. Goaltending, to me, is going to be the big factor in that series. And after that first game up in Winnipeg, you get 6 goals on Connor Hellebuck. You don't win the game. And I look at Colorado and don't view them the same way as the Golden Knights, where you're able to get more out of your goaltenders because of the way the team is constructed. Can the Avalanche win that series with Georgiev?
Well, they can. But it's going to be a painful price that they're going to have to pay. Because I think that guys like McKinnon, who you know are playing 24, 25 minutes already, Cale Makar, 24, 25 minutes, Devin Toews, the same thing. their big guns are going to have to be on the ice even more than they were in that 7-6 game, and that's not a recipe for long-term success in the Stanley Cup playoffs. By the way, Rangers just scored again. It's 2-1 now. So the key thing there is that he's got to make one or two saves. He has to. He made none in game one, zero. And you know, they were a team, though, that his save percentage wasn't fantastic during the season. There were a lot of games where the opposition scored four, but the Avalanche scored five or six or seven. So, and that's that's not very customary for the playoffs in 2024, Ryan. They can still win. Mm-hmm. The other thing it speaks of to me, and I didn't think I'd ever say this quickly, is they really missed Jonathan Drouin. And I thought Drouin was reinventing himself and repairing his mental state and his physical state in going to Colorado and being, a short-term fix. But they obviously miss his game, certainly on the offensive side of the puck, because they were just lacking something at key times in game one in Winnipeg.
Who's the more maligned goaltender from Denver? Is it Georgiev or is it Hardy Astrom?
Oh, no, nobody touches Hardy Astrom. Nobody touches
from the
Hardy
old Colorado Astrom. Rocky days.
He was the, by the way, he was the goaltender that the world-famous Don Cherry choked at one point. And he also choked a guy named Mike McEwen, a defenseman for the Rockies. At one point, he was so frustrating. But that was when the team was bad. That was when the team wasn't, couldn't make the playoffs and were so, poor that they actually ended up moving and becoming the New Jersey Devils. So from that perspective, that was a different time. Georgiev won more games than anybody else in the NHL this year.
Right.
Played more minutes than anybody else in the NHL.
Hardy never did that.
No, Hardy never did that. That's right. So there's lots of positives for Georgiev. But by the way, I heard a new name for him today, Darren, and I'd love.
It's awesome.
Have you heard this?
I believe you go first, and I'll tell you whether it's the same one I've heard.
Georgie Five.
Hmm. Oh, I've heard Fouriev.
No, Georgie Five.
Okay,
think about it.
They both work, but
yeah. But this was somebody called him Georgie Five, which with the V being the Roman numeral for five.
Well, it's not good that I had Fouriev from the fan base of the Avalanche, and now it's evolved to one more. That's going the wrong way.
That's right. That's right. So anyway, I think we're going to see a track meet again in Game 2 tonight too, Ryan. I think it's going to be wild and Winnipeg one more time. And by the way, I've said this on this show before, and I've certainly said it in Winnipeg, the success of the Winnipeg Jets this season is a direct response to what happened last year in the first round of the playoffs to the Vegas Golden Knights. Everything that Vegas taught the Jets in those five games, the Jets went away and learned from it and created a mirror image of what we see every night the Golden Knights go out.
Yeah, the offense that they were able to create, big bodies, the Avalanche defensively just could not handle them, including Adam. I thought we had a parallaxial effect the other night, too, on the puck that,
no,
that just went
what?
Over the wasn't it parallaxial? What was the name of that?
A parallax view.
Parallax view. Oh,
parallax
that's close.
I tried to tell him. I tried to tell him.
Not pterodactyl, no.
a parallax view, yes.
Parallax view. Thatcher Demko, I'm told he's out for the playoffs. Maybe that's like a report that's going over the top, but I don't think he's coming back in this series, no matter what Vancouver's going to say. Can Vancouver win with Casey DeSmith?
In the short term, they can. They can win the series still. Again, I think like
they're
Colorado, they're going to have to, it's going to have to be a better team game. I did like the way Vancouver's defense played, and a guy that has been much maligned in Vancouver all season long, Tyler Myers, was a beast. Mm-hmm. At 6'7", If he plays under control, he can be really effective. And I thought he was very effective against Nashville the other night. So, but Thatcher Demko is going to be on the ballot for the Vezina this year. The general managers, I've talked to a couple of general managers, and he's always the third guy they mentioned that they voted for. So I expect him to get some consideration. And I think that tells you how important he is to the Canucks. So if Casey DeSmith can get them three more victories in this series, then I've told that there's a chance that Demko could be back for the next round. So who, but, you know, this is a... this is the time of secrets and dispelling rumors in the National Hockey League, and the Demko story may be no different than any other.
Reports are he hurt himself in the last minute of that game on a play that wasn't even a save. He was just making a movement. If that's the truth, then you got to wonder about the durability of what is perceived to be a knee injury. John Shannon with us on the VGK Insider Show, Ryan.
All right, so, you know, we'll keep the injury thing going here. William Nylander didn't play in game one or two in that opening round series against the Bruins. Are you expecting Nylander to factor into the lineup come game three?
I have been told, yes, that he will be back in the lineup. There is some level of expectation he will return. You know, how fragile he is another question, because nobody really knows what the injury is, whether it's a neck or a concussion or something like that that has created spasms of some sort. But, you know, what I saw last night, Ryan, was right now the Toronto Maple Leafs are outplaying the Boston Bruins, and do they really need him? You know, the Leaf forwards did a good job against the Bruins defense yesterday. The Bruin defense was a little scattered last night. Lindholm and McAvoy are obviously very good, but the rest of the guys, Brandon Carlo and the group, and they lost Peake to an injury, so that means Lorai's probably going to come in. So those are questions on the blue line for the Bruins, but if I think the Leafs can control the Bruins at this point without Nylander. Why not leave Nylander out a little bit more and get him even closer to 100% in health? But that's just me. I'm just, I'm a coach in disguise sitting in my basement. So I would that would be something I would think of, but I'm told that he will be in the lineup for Game 3.
I thought your TV was on the main floor.
Well, we have more than one TV.
I thought your TV viewing area was
no. I know I have. The compound is nowhere near the main floor.
Salt Lake City, the Arizona Coyotes have an arena issue. Or Lindy Ruff going back to Buffalo and running it back. Your choice for the last topic.
Well, you tell me what the issue in Salt Lake City is, and I'll tell you whether it's real.
Well, he wants to build a new rink, and he's been told that he has to build that new rink downtown, and he doesn't want to build it downtown, so he's going to redo Delta Center. He's going to renovate the Delta Center now.
Yeah, because the 300 to the tune of $300 to $400 million.
Yeah,
and they'll do it over two summers. The renderings have already been done, and it will be comparable. The renderings and the philosophy of how to rebuild it will be comparable to what they did at Madison Square Garden. And Darren, you'll recall this over 3 years.
Yep.
Madison Square Garden in the off-season of the Knicks and the Rangers, they went 24/7 for 4.5 months and did it for three summers. Similar to what happened here in Toronto with the baseball stadium, they did major renovations in two consecutive winter times, and now the Sky Dome looks completely different on the inside.
And what they're doing in Vancouver, what they were supposed to do in one summer, but it's taken them six.
Or Montreal, it would not only take them 6 years, it would all cost them another $2 billion.
Right, on the roof.
So,
yeah.
I think they've always, the poker game being played by Ryan Smith now in Salt Lake with the arena is because there's supposed to be public funding for the new arena.
Right.
Because of the 2034 Olympic Winter Games, which Salt Lake City is going to get. So from that perspective, and by the way, you need two arenas anyway for the Olympics. So renovate one and build another, and Ryan Smith will then decide where he wants to play, or if they decide that, you know, they build another arena, it's a white elephant, and
well,
that's
you think
on
they're going to build another rink?
We're going to have to, because you have to build one for figure skating, and you have to have one for hockey.
Why can't they use the one that they used for hockey in 2002?
Well, but okay, so that's the second rink for hockey, but you need a third one for figure skating.
Yeah, weren't we down? Weren't we in some other place, other city for?
Yeah, you were either in Ogden or Logan, one of the two.
It was Logan. Ogden was the curling. So
yeah, Ogden was the curling. Logan's where BYU is, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So
no,
you were in
no,
Logan.
No, BYU is in Provo.
Provo. That's where it was. Provo. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I never got out of the East Center. I never got out of the East Center and the parking lot.
John Shannon was a big wig. He wouldn't talk to me then, and he was running. Like, he was doing NBC games and all this stuff. It was like,
I was big wheel.
Yeah,
I was kind of like Chapman on the radio network last week.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Big wheel.
By
doing
the way, Florida
job.
Just scored 1-0 Florida.
Nah, I was really hoping Tampa Bay would win that series. It's still
but
possible.
It's like they've only played six minutes.
Yeah. I shouldn't write them off just yet. Thanks for doing this. So you're going to be with us a couple of times a week during the Stanley Cup playoffs. Is that okay?
Yeah. I'd love to. I have a huge fan base in the Vegas. They love me, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Has Chapman had you on his pregame show?
No, I'm not allowed on Vegas pregame shows.
Hmm. It's a little disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's okay. I've learned to cope. Hmm. I've learned to cope. Anyway, by the way, I know he's... I know he's in Dallas, but George is listening. So hello, George.
Yeah, George gets us on the Las Vegas radio network for sure. He's listening.
Well, he's on the computer today.
Yeah. Multitasking. He can actually do it. I can't.
But I know George. Like, George has not only got the computer going, he's on the bike, and he's doing freeway.
Yeah.
He's doing it all at once.
He's I call him the bionic man, not because he had hip replacement, but because he just it's extreme how fit he is and how powerful he is, and it's unbelievable.
I don't know people in Vegas know this, but pound for pound as a player,
yeah,
George McPhee was the toughest player in the National Hockey League for a long period of time. Players feared going against George McPhee because he would pummel them.
I had a conversation with George. Well, I was listening more than anything. George and Rod Buskus, and they were in the Patrick division at the same time. George with the Rangers, Roddy with Pittsburgh, and they were both telling stories about the Philadelphia Flyers and how crazy it was in the 80s to play against those guys. The stories were unbelievable. John, we'll chat with you again on Thursday after game two of the Golden Knights against Dallas. Be safe, my friend.
Cheers, boys.
There he is, John Shannon. I was floating some stuff by him today, maybe going to some frosted tips and going to some polyester suits, and I was bouncing that stuff off, so I'll have to get that response on Thursday.
I'd say no to the frosted tips.
Really?
I think you can bring it back. No, because you've already got your signature hair thing. I don't think the frosted tips are really in your...
But that's natural. That's not even... I don't even do anything for that. That just grows up.
No, I hear you. I get it. I don't think that you want to distract from that natural essence with frosted tips. I think it'd be I think it's an unwise decision for you.
Chapman, you're new to the behind the mic side of it as the entertainer. What would you do?
Well, I don't have to worry about that because I'm wearing my bathing suit to stadium swim tomorrow. But I would say go
Look
for
at
it.
You.
Go for the frosted tips. Why not?
You're wearing your bathing suit tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
I heard you were complaining because it was hot.
No, I didn't complain. I said I wish I had known that there was going to be...
I heard you were complaining that it was hot.
I don't think that's accurate.
You know who I got that from?
I'm sure I could guess because there are only two people with the Golden Knights that I spoke to, so...
Who was it?
Well, it was either Nate, and I don't think it was Nate.
No, it wasn't Nate.
So it was Rachel.
No, it wasn't Rachel. Well, it was Gosher.
Oh, boy.
Gosher?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You had him on the pregame show.
I did have him on the pregame.
And Gosher said, Chapman, if you're hot, there's 32 pools.
Yes.
Jump in.
Well, you know, Vanessa, who was our remote engineer, she said that wouldn't have been a good idea with the headset on. So.
No, no. But if there's nobody else in the pool, go for it.
And there was. We had the private pool, so that's why I said tomorrow.
You got your own pool?
I'm going to rock the bathing. I'm going to bring the bathing suit tomorrow, and I might watch the first period in the pool.
That's outstanding.
Look at you.
Take some video of that, okay?
Yeah. Absolutely. All right.
I wish you could do it because you're on the same time I'm on, so you can't do it with me in the background, but it'd be fine.
Actually, I might be able to.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Give it a shot. We got to fly. I'm going to fly. Good news. Ryan's back, so this is awesome stuff. I may be back for both hours next week. One final check to do, and we could be like back and rolling and awesome stuff. But can't wait to see what happens tomorrow night and kick some butt in hour number two, you guys.
All right. Sounds great.
There's the VGK Insider Show as we continue on Fox Sports Las Vegas.